Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, over the course of the general election campaign, we're hearing from all of the leaders of the political parties who are vying for your vote on the 29th of November. We continue today with Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin, who's a candidate in the Cork South Central constituency. You're welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
indeed.
For coming in. I want to talk about, the manifesto promises that Fianna Fáil have made. They're going to cost an additional €60 billion over 5 years. We know that much. But we are facing this uncertainty of a Trump presidency and all of the questions that that brings, and potentially a major decline in our income. What have you planned to deal with that?
Well, fundamentally, within our overall provisions, we have €50 billion that we are saving through the 0.8% contribution of GNI, basically creating the Future Ireland Fund and the Investment Climate Nature Fund. And by the end of the decade, that will have reached €50 billion. So that's a reserve that's there to pay for future challenges on pensions and healthcare and so on like that. And then we have an additional €20 billion to cover existing levels of service that we're also providing for. And this isn't a financial package and expenditure package that will still leave a surplus at the end of the 5 years based on the economic assumptions of the Department of Finance and based on costings of the Department of Finance, and that we'll reduce debt as a proportion of national income.
But do you not think it would be fair and responsible to say to voters, we're promising a lot here, but there may be things we cannot do because we don't know what Donald Trump is going to do?
Well, everything will be subject to available resources, everything will be subject to the economic cycle, and everything assumes economic growth. The Fianna Fáil manifesto is stronger in terms of investment in public services because the population is increasing and one has to be realistic. We will need extra healthcare staff. So we've provided for about 25,000 extra healthcare staff over the next 5 years. Other parties haven't. We're kind of taken back that Fine Gael haven't provided for additional healthcare staff in theirs. Our education provision, we're saying there has to be an increase in capitation of about 40%. Other parties are not at that level. And social protection, we're investing heavier. On taxes, then, we'd perhaps be lower than other parties in terms of the commitments, because we think with population growth, we have to invest in services. There will have to be more teachers in the future. There will have to be more healthcare workers in the future. And we're very clear in terms of provision for pensioners and working age payments, which are all provided for in our provision. No, if things change, we would have to revise that, because we want to maintain the situation of surplus. We want to provide for the future. The overriding issue is housing. And we don't make any apology in terms of the utilisation of the Apple money to invest in, for example, the Land Development Agency, up to €4 billion to put aside, to guarantee it multi-annual funding so that it can get 25,000 houses built by the end of the decade.
So you would maintain spending on housing, but the other promises that you have made, you may have to change what you're saying on that if, say, corporation tax hits the buffers because of what Donald Trump might do.
Any government, it's not just Donald Trump. I mean, I think the biggest threat to the Irish economy is external. The world is in turmoil. The election of President Trump opens up new issues in terms of, for example, a tariff war, which would damage Ireland because we're a small, open, exporting country. The war in the Middle East, for example, if Iran and Israel went to war, there would be potentially an oil crisis and would also be trade supply issues in terms of the Gulf, the Hormuz Strait or the Gulf being undermined in terms of the world economy.
I think these are big threats which we have to be realistic about.
That.
I mean, Pat Leahy was writing about this at the weekend and he was saying someone take the phone off Simon Harris before he bankrupts the country. But I mean, Fianna Fáil, as you say, are promising a lot as well. He said that in his conversations with people who are involved in state agencies who deal with multinationals, also private companies who rely on their income from multinationals, they're really worried about this. But political parties aren't talking about it at all in this campaign.
Well, I've been saying it consistently that the biggest threat to us is external. I've been saying that since this campaign began. I have been very clear that a tariff war would be very damaging to the Irish economy.
We're not.
We're planning for a budget surplus every year. We're planning for a reduction of national debt as a percentage of national income.
But you also want to increase spending to 6.5%.
Given the growth in population, and you talk about the multinationals. I mean, the big issue for the multinationals is they want to see a government commit to investment in the energy grid, in water, and in housing, because these are three key competitive issues to continue to enable us to attract foreign direct investment into the country. It's a concern I would have on the energy grid. We do need to invest in it. We do need to invest in water. Water is the single biggest issue that's holding back housing in the country, it seems to me, having travelled the length and breadth of the country.
We didn't do water charges. You weren't in favour of water charges.
Water charges is neither here nor there in the scale of what's required. I mean, we have the Apple funding of about $15 billion. I think the FDI sector and enterprise in general will be heartened by the fact that we're seeing exclusively that funding should go to enhance infrastructure in terms of water, housing in terms of land development agency, the energy grid, and also from Fianna Fáil have identified the need to create, to digitalise our health services in terms of electronic patient records and better advanced technology in health itself to improve efficiencies within health.
Yeah, but you have been warned for many years now by IFAC and other agencies about this reliance on corporation tax.
Yeah.
Is there a plan to deal with it if it disappears?
Well, we've already began implementing that plan. Michael McGrath, when he was Minister for Finance, got through government and he took the initiative, and Fianna Fáil took the initiative to say we need to put money aside, some of this corporation tax, the windfall element of it. And so we have put, by the end of next year, we'll have $16 billion put aside. And by the end of the decade, our plan is to put $50 billion to one side. That is actually legislated for now. It's in law that future governments have to do that. I know Sinn Féin want to get rid of it and take all that money back and spend it now. Fianna Fáil is saying, no, you can't do that. You need to provide for the fact that we're living longer. You know, we'll have an older population. We will need more money for pensions. We'll need more money for healthcare into the future. And that we're going to do that. And that's something we've already done and something we're going to protect as we go forward, notwithstanding headwinds that might come our way. And then there's the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund. And $2 billion a year going into that. Why? Because if, say, there was a downturn, we want to make sure that projects that we've started, we complete
carry them on.
And not have the stop-start nature to capital projects.
Talking about planning for the future, Fine Gael got a big bang in terms of coverage over the weekend with this ACORN scheme, the savings account for all children, newborn children. What do you think of it?
Look, I'm not overly exercised by it. I think it's many people who will have newborns will be very pleased with it. I think, though, there is an issue legitimately raised that we do need to target our resources and in terms of working class families and so on, and people who would not be in a position to add 2,000 to a scheme like that. I mean, there's no doubt that would benefit wealthier people in society.
And those people, just to explain to people who haven't heard it, those people who can add 2,000 a year to it, their child would end up with 53 grand in this fund by the time they get to 18.
Yes, yeah.
Does that increase inequality in your view?
It does, particularly when we do need, and we've put in for the child support payment, for example, we've put in very exceptional increases. We also want to increase domiciliary care allowance. Like, there is an issue in terms of the children of today that we need to provide more and more. So that's why we're putting money into pupil-teacher ratios. Mm-hmm. Reduction, we want to bring the pupil-teacher ratio down to 19 to 1. We do need, the one piece left in education, we do need to do more on capitation grants. So that's the children of today.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, we have brought in free book schemes. So all children now have free books from primary to leaving certificate. Hot school meals are being rolled into schools. So there's a lot of advances.
On
but on child poverty, I think there's more to be done.
Would you push back against this plan if you ended up in government with Fine Gael again? Or would you agree to it?
Well, that's why the differences, and that's why I welcome the publication of the Fine Gael manifesto, because we can now see there are differences. I mean, I think it's very clear from the manifesto allocations that Fianna Fáil is much stronger in terms of investment in public services. So that's our priority. So our priority would be that can't get in the way of a reduced pupil-teacher ratio. That cannot get in the way of better childcare services. It cannot.
So as long as it doesn't disrupt the other plans that you have, you would be prepared to support that ACORN plan?
We're not going to. I'll put it this way to you. It's not our priority, but it's not something we would die in the ditch on.
Now, some fairly unedifying scraps between yourselves and Fine Gael. Dermot O'Hearn writing in the Mail says he doesn't get it, doesn't understand why you're doing it. I mean, let's take Willie O'Dea saying that Helen McEntee was the worst ever Justice Minister. What's that stuff about?
That was Willie's own articulation. I don't agree with it. And in fairness now, I mean, we were surprised ourselves, and I said it on the Independent podcast during the week. I couldn't understand the strategy because first six press releases from Fine Gael were attacking us, attacking Fianna Fáil.
It's not your strategy to attack them, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not.
We don't really see it coming from them. I mean, you have housing, health. They haven't really gone after you on those two things, have they?
Sorry?
Housing and health, have they gone after you?
In terms of when we published the manifesto, they made a fairly flawed analysis of it, and it went full on.
That was Pascal Donoghue on the 5.2 billion.
Yeah, that was, and he knew, like, that's exactly the model that Pascal himself used in previous budgets. But in any event, it's not our strategy. But I do think there are legitimate differences between the party too, let's be honest about that. This idea that each party can critic. I mean, we're not standing as independent parties. I think the debate has to be respectful. I think there are differences, not at the manifestos. I think what I've done last week, I had no time for. I think now we have two manifestos. I think I'd invite people to look at both manifestos and to go through them. Sinn Féin yet haven't produced a manifesto.
Yeah, I think they're doing that tomorrow.
I know, we're halfway into
respectful.
The campaign and one party doesn't have a manifesto published,
well,
which I think
them.
Is a very serious. Well, it's in the absence of that, then, you get sort of, a kind of an argumentation or a debate that's not based on substance.
Well, let's talk about what we do know. You wanted to be respectful. James Brown claims that he did most of the work in the justice portfolio. Is that a cut at the minister for taking maternity leave?
No. James has been misinterpreted here. He's making, like, in fairness to Fianna Fáil, we have said on the justice portfolio, we've come up with a radical policy departure, which is the creation of a new Department of Domestic Affairs, to look at, for example, migration, national security, and some of this was in the Toland review. So this is very of substance. And his point was that he was very busy in the last time as a Minister of State. Justice has huge issues. So we would divide it up. We'd have two departments, two secretary generals, to deal with migration, border security, national security, intelligence, cyber security, which is in the communications department at the moment, which should really be in a Department of Domestic Affairs.
Well, then I heard Jim O'Callaghan saying that the department needs a new energy. Like, that's fairly close to the bone, isn't it?
Well, like, there's someone else talking about new energy for the last 6 months, but
yeah, well,
I wouldn't rely.
I found the comment quite cutting yesterday. I mean, he clearly wants Helen McEntee's job. He's gone from wanting your job to wanting her job.
Look, I think we're overanalyzing. I think the idea that parties wouldn't have disagreements is fanciful. Of course, we're going to have disagreements, but the justice one is actually motivated more by the substance of a policy shift and a desire, because within our parliamentary party we had Mary Fitzpatrick, we have Catherine Narda, who are on a group with Lorraine Clifford Lee, who are saying it's a big issue for them in cities and towns. People feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. Crime is an issue, Claire. It's an issue, and collectively cabinet has to take responsibility. Cabinet works together, but crime is an issue. People don't feel as safe now. Whether that's perception or reality is beside the point. They don't.
And your colleagues blame Helen McEntee for that, clearly.
I don't. And as far as I'm concerned, it's post-COVID society has evolved in certain ways. And I think also cities and towns are evolving. So I think we have to reimagine how we will plan for cities in the future with stronger residential presence in villages and towns and cities, and also improved public realm and more Gardaí.
Okay.
It's not just one strand that can solve this issue for us in terms of how towns and cities evolve into the future.
Can we just talk again about that unintended consequence of this bickering? Coming back to Dermot O'Hearn's point, you know, someone with his experience, and I don't get this, because, like, you could make Fine Gael voters see you as the toxic transfer here if you're not careful, if this crosses a line. Are you worried about that?
Well, I think tomorrow, if Sinn Féin publishes a manifesto, and I think, you know, the real divide in this election is one, we discussed the economy earlier. The real divide here is between those who favour a pro-enterprise economic model and those who don't.
Well, you wouldn't think it, given the debate over the last while.
Well, see, Sinn Féin haven't produced a manifesto.
Well, they've produced loads of policy positions. We have seen a lot from
Sinn Féin,
came
out,
in fairness.
Within the first weekend, we produced a comprehensive manifesto. That's what elections should be about. That's the substance upon which people should debate. Sinn Féin haven't. And Sinn Féin don't believe in the economic model. And as far as I can see, that's a fundamental issue facing people. I mean, they don't believe in trade agreements, for example. They don't believe in ratifying the Canadian-European Union trade deal.
Well, listen, hopefully we will have Mary Lou MacDonald in here to discuss all of that.
But that is the real division in Irish politics at the moment.
But this is what I'm saying to you. The way Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have played this election campaign so far. You're fighting with each other.
Well, look, that there's been an element of that in the first few days, which I didn't get. And we were subject to a lot of attacks from Fine Gael. I didn't get the strategy of it. As far as I'm concerned, strategically, that doesn't make sense. But equally, I am saying that there will be differences. That's natural. I mean, it took months to negotiate the last programme for government. The reason being there were differences. And centrist parties can have differences. Across Europe, we have centrist parties that vie. And there's nothing wrong with having that, because I don't want the kind of hyper-polarisation that we have in America, which leads to lack of continuity of policy, lack of stability. We've just discussed the potential of a tariff war between Europe and America. And likewise, in the UK, you have these really dramatic sort of shifts when one party gets in versus the other because of a polarised position of left and right, which some people criticise Ireland for not having. I actually think it's been a great strength to Ireland that we have a strong centre that has successfully protected and advanced an economic model that has allowed foreign direct investment to come in here and stay here for the long haul, and allow Irish enterprise develop as well, and give us the resources to invest in public services.
So I saw Dara O'Brien on the housing debate on Katie Hannan's programme being very nice to Ivana Bacik and saying that she had some good ideas. Then we had Timmy Dooley on here on Friday in a debate which included Michael Fitzmaurice, and he was saying that, you know, we agreed with some of what Michael had to say. Are you cozying up? Is that a strategy to Labour and some of the independents?
I'm very slow to be cozying up to anyone in advance of an election, because I think that's taking the electorate almost for granted. I don't mean, you know, my focus is on maximising the Fianna Fáil vote and the number of seats we have. We will have clear principles that will govern who we go into government with. And that has to do with the economic model I've talked about. It has to do with a positivity about the European Union. And it has to do with housing as the number one issue.
You'll do business with anyone apart from Sinn Féin.
Because Sinn Féin's position on housing would be more delay, more disruption. And they would crucify first-time buyers. No, I mean...
Well, there are other people in your party who would, we know, do business with Sinn Féin.
No, the vast majority... The vast majority of the Fianna Fáil party now are very clear, because they've been out in the doors, they've met with people who are our supporters and our voters, and they do not want us to go in with Sinn Féin. But also, they know from the housing has cemented it. The housing policy of Sinn Féin, about 125,000 people over the next number of years would lose an average, or could lose up to 80,000 from Sinn Féin, because they would get rid of the direct supports to Help to Buy and the First Home Scheme.
They're talking about phasing those out based on supply going up, and they're not the only parties promising that.
Get rid of the Land Development Agency, essentially, and mothball it. The Land Development Agency is now on the cusp over the next 2 to 3 years of providing 14,000 houses. We want to give it 4 billion. Because why? It took us 2 years to set up the Land Development Agency, to pass the legislation. Sinn Féin want to go back over all of that, bring in their ideas, which would actually delay housing.
Can we talk about Fianna Fáil and not Sinn Féin? Because I will have a very long conversation with Mary Lou MacDonald when she comes in here.
Except the context was that you were saying the divide between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I'm saying the real divide in the election is Sinn Féin.
Okay, and in fairness, you have explained that. I mean, you brought me to housing now. I mean, the Help to Buy scheme, some believe that that is inflationary. What do you think?
I think it has been an enormous help to first-time buyers who've been able to buy houses that they otherwise would not have been in a position to buy. It hasn't been inflationary in a sense. It hasn't been a key factor in house prices going up. I think the absence
of supply... And they are going up, we know that.
I think the absence of supply is the key issue there. We need more supplies. But it has mattered to young people who are saving to get a deposit. The Help to Buy has been of enormous help to them.
And do you agree with Fine Gael's strategy to increase it, to top it up?
Well, we've all allocated resources. We've committed to extending it to 2029. That's in our budgetary framework. Obviously, there'll be programme for government negotiations, but we are saying the first decision we took in the last budget was to say we're going to keep it to 2029. Why? So that people can have certainty in planning their own individual lives, that they know that will be there for them. The First Home Scheme, we are increasing, we would increase the Help to Buy and the First Home Scheme, similar to what Fine Gael are contemplating as well.
But this is a Fine Gael idea. Like, Simon Coveney brought this in 2016, isn't it? It's just a track, a path that you guys have followed.
Yeah. Well, we have, and we've extended it and improved it and so on like that. That's fine.
But why not change tack and introduce a more effective measure of boosting supply rather than following on with this idea, which, as I said, some people believe is inflationary and not really doing anything to boost supply?
Well, it is boosting supply. It is boosting the focus on first time, on new builds. And likewise with the first home scheme that Dara Byrne introduced, that has been very effective in terms of getting new bills as well. And we do need to. And the other key issue, as I said earlier, is investment in water, investment in the Land Development Agency, and the grid. The infrastructure piece is vital because everywhere we go, we're told by builders and so on, lack of connections, lack of wastewater capacity. Is a negative and is holding back housing developments across the country. So it has to be all out on housing.
Well, what held back affordable homes? I mean, only 1,000 of them delivered to date. You must be disappointed in that.
There's more than 1,000 delivered, and that's a Sinn Féin figure. But I mean,
it's not because I took that from the Department of Housing press release of the 17th of last month. Since the launch of Housing for All, the Department of Housing said close to 1,000 of these affordable homes have been provided.
Okay, there's about 6,000 though in delivery, Claire, and equally, there was nothing on affordable at the start of this government, nothing at all in 2020. And one of the issues has been that the state has to intervene across the board from Croí-Cónaithe has right across to the local authority affordable housing scheme. And other initiatives. Cost rental is a new model that we've introduced in terms of affordable rent and so on like that.
I saw a woman in Offaly asking you about vulture funds. Like, why wasn't that something that Fianna Fáil stepped in to change? These big investment funds coming in, buying up apartments. Fine Gael always told us that we needed them. But it feels like something that Fianna Fáil should have stood out front and centre on.
Well, we did step in respect of houses and housing estates, where we changed the planning laws and Dara Byrne changed the planning laws, and then we increased the stamp duty. That's the government
did it work? The last.
It did in houses, yes, absolutely. Very low levels. The problem with apartments is, and there is an issue there, we need more and more supply. And we need different strands of investment to enable that supply to happen. If you turn it all off, you reduce supply. And that's a big problem, I think, from the left of the Dáil, from the main opposition party and the left wing. They're not really explaining how you get to the levels of supply we need to get to if you take on board all the measures that they're suggesting, such as that, for example. So if you were to take them out of the apartment building, and a lot of our own builders are saying apartment building is inviable, so hence the state has had to intervene substantially, there is a real risk that you would reduce supply.
They're building these very luxurious places that people can't afford to rent.
Yes, but and we need more provision of apartment blocks that are affordable. The issue will be, though, I mean, we've a lot of workers from Europe coming in. If you know, in terms of many of our multinational companies, they need places to live in, to rent as well. So the danger is that if you switch off investment, you end up with less supply overall. I think the state has to intervene to provide social housing, affordable housing, and help first-time buyers.
And we have been the infrastructure that you talked about as well. So there's a lot of work for the state to do.
An awful lot of work. The state is the main player in housing at the moment. The numbers that are now drawing down mortgages for the first time is way ahead of anything in previous decades. But that needs to continue at a consistent pace for the next 10 years.
Was there not more that could have been done to help people downsize or right size, as some people call it, people who, you know, whose children have left and they're living in a house that's too big for them, but there's nowhere really for them to go and there's no sensible financial option for them to do that?
There have been some very good schemes that actually have been implemented and completed. I'm well aware of one in the Mahon area in Cork, for example, that worked for everybody, local authority, the people who sold back their houses to the local authority and downsized. I think we could do more on that. It is a slower process because it involves individuals' choices in terms of their lives and so on like that. And it's not as simple as it looks, but it definitely is one strand that needs to be pursued more in terms of facilitating the utilisation of bigger houses where there may be only one or two people living in them at the moment.
Now, the revised targets, I mean, the Housing Committee warned a while ago that the targets were far too low, but it's only in the teeth of an election campaign that Fianna Fáil come out with a target. Could you blame people for being cynical about that when they can't afford to rent a place, let alone buy a place, that it's only when you're facing the electorate that you change the targets?
Well, no, I mean, we set targets on Housing for All, right, in 2020.
They were way off.
With the lockdown. Well, I mean, they weren't way off, actually.
Well, they were very quickly,
We need to distinguish between need and the how of doing it. So it's grand to say we'll have 50,000 someone needs to ask the question, how do you get to 50,000 mm-hmm. in the next 2 years? And that's the issue. I do accept that targets enable local authorities to plan in terms of zoning of land and increased zoning of land so that there's a sufficiency of zoned land to cater for what's anticipated to be the need. And it's the Economic and Social Research Institute that have come up with these figures, not government doing it on the eve of an election. ESRI has produced a range of figures and scenarios in respect of what we need. We're saying we need an average of 50,000 per annum over the next 5 years, and we need to get to 60,000 houses by 2030. That's the target. That will be a challenging target to meet. Most parties are in or about that target. The issue is, how do we get there? And I think if you undermine the Land Development Agency, you will not get there. Okay. Because we believe the Land Development Agency can deliver 25,000 houses mm-hmm. between Sinn Féin want to get rid of it. We believe the Help to Buy and the First Home Scheme will keep new builds happening. If we disrupt the market now and delay it again, we get less houses and we get more expensive houses. Okay. That's the real choice in this election. And the Planning Act is the third plank. Okay. Again, everyone in opposition opposed it for 2 years. That Planning Act was meant to streamline judicial review, get housing developments done faster. And so now the next 4 years is about action. It's about just getting on with it, not disrupting what has been put in place in terms of the foundation stones that enables us to build houses. And I'm afraid that what will happen here, if somebody in opposition get their way, is we're back to square one. We'll have more legislation, more delay, less houses and more expensive houses in the end.
Listen, I want to ask you about a story that people will have read about over the weekend and they're seeing more about it today. This is Simon Harris backing his party candidate in Louth. This is John McGahan. John McGahan was involved in a street brawl in 2018. He was found civilly liable in a civil action. Now, you have said that it's a matter for Fine Gael to address. Would you work with him in government if he were elected?
If the people elect someone, that's, and I don't think we would have run a candidate in that situation in a general election if we knew what is known now. I think it was, look, from what we've seen over the weekend, it was quite a vicious assault or an encounter, put it that way. Consciousness gone through the courts. And
he was found not guilty, we should say, civilly liable.
But civilly liable. And like, it's the video, I think, has, if you see it, it's online everywhere. It's quite shocking. And so there needs to be...
Were you surprised that Simon Harris backed him after that video and those photographs were released?
I was somewhat surprised, yeah. But again, it is a matter for Fine Gael ultimately to address. It's a matter for Senator McGann himself to address. And the people ultimately are the judges in this. And the people will ultimately, you know, make the decision as to who they want to represent.
What would you do? What would you do if he was your candidate and this was happening?
Well, I don't think he would have been a candidate given the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Because Pascal Donoghue said the violence is regrettable, but he can't second guess the outcome of a criminal trial.
Well, my view would be, and I'm trying to be as fair as I can, if we, in our situation, knew the extent of the injuries. And the injuries are, when you look at them, there is a victim here, whatever. And striking to the head is... very, very dangerous and can, thankfully here, didn't lead to worse consequences, but could have.
So you're surprised Simon Harris is supporting him now and you wouldn't be running him. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Let's move on to health. It's one of the most important portfolios. You hold it going into this election. And I'm sure it's fair to say you would have hoped that you would have cut the ribbon on the Children's Hospital before we reach this point. Obviously, that hasn't happened. But I was surprised to see one of the ideas in your manifesto on health is to staff the new Children's Hospital. And I wondered, why did you need to write that down? Surely people would expect that of course, you're going to staff the Children's Hospital. Well, it's sort of a ridiculous thing to say, isn't it?
No. Because, first of all, you have to provide for it in your manifesto. You have to provide the funding to enable it to happen. And by staffing, it has to be staffed properly. There was a very good reason that's put into the manifesto. Because, you know, the system will pull and drag on this. Public expenditure will pull and drag on this. And I've been through this myself as a health minister with new units opening and endless rows going on about the staffing levels.
So what, Pascal Donoghue wouldn't want to staff the...
It's the department. There will be a tug of war. I mark my words. When that children's hospital comes on stream, there'll be a tug of war between public expenditure on the Department of Health officially and so on like that, saying you'll only get this amount of money to staff this ward and staff that ward. What Fianna Fáil is saying is, look, we're going to do this properly. It will be a state-of-the-art hospital when it's eventually built. It needs to be staffed appropriately, comprehensively, and let's do it once and for all.
There isn't a mention of Sláintecare in your health manifesto, the great 10-year cross-party plan, not one mention of it.
But I mean, we have committed to many of the principles in that, and we're moving on, and in a good way, I think, towards universal healthcare. And I think we've made a lot of progress. And I think, just to be fair to Stephen Donnelly, on women's health in particular, I think he's been probably one of the more radical ministers we've had in decades on that front. And I think on the public, which is a key part of Sláintecare, the public-only consultant contract, he's implemented that.
How are we closer to universal healthcare?
Because we've reduced substantially the charges in accessing public healthcare. We have the public consultant only contract. We have some very strong, I think, much stronger primary care and enhanced community care than we had. And so at all levels, I think we've moved closer to it. We still have a distance to go and we still have a journey to go.
Now, the Social Democrats, though, say that Sláintecare is a deal breaker for them. Are you saying that you will fully pursue Sláintecare?
Yeah, I mean, we've been pursuing it. I think the last 5 years have been very progressive in terms of the investment in public health. And that is why, for example, in our...
Did you forget maybe to put it into the manifesto?
No, we didn't. And in terms of our public health, in terms of our manifesto, we've put in for 25,000 extra healthcare workers. We funded that in our manifesto. Other parties haven't. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a Sinn Féin one yet. So I think, like, we are very committed because we think the population is growing. It's going to get, it's aging. We're living longer, which is a good thing, by the way, which is a sign of all the investment we have put into health. Sometimes people complain about health expenditure, but Ireland is a much healthier country now than it was 20 years ago and dramatically healthier than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, but you're leaving the housing department with a housing crisis and you're leaving the health department with the problems that we have at, say, the University Hospital in Limerick. I mean, these are the things that you're going into this election carrying.
We are, but equally we've enhanced services in so many different places as well and in so many different areas and have had very significant investment in radiation oncology, for example, just to pick one, in terms of Cork, Galway and elsewhere. And we do need significant investment on the Western Seaboard in terms of University Hospital Galway. We do need a new cancer care centre there. We do need the new emergency department there. And in Limerick, we need additional capacity, and also then the HEQA report in terms of a second emergency department there. Again, that will be much more challenging than people are acknowledging. And as a leader of a party, I'm going to acknowledge that's easier said than done.
Additional emergency department resources.
Yeah, in terms of the logistics of getting, the clinical buy-in to that. But HEQA is examining it. The population has increased in Clare and across Tip, Tipperary. So there are issues there, but without question, there's also need for reform in our health service, and there was need for reform in governance of our health system as well. And that applied to the Midwest as well as anywhere else. So it's a twin-track approach of investment and reform.
There is a promise in there as well to cap car park charges at hospitals at €10 a day. Like, we've heard the Irish Cancer Society over years calling for those, and they're desperately unfair, people paying a fortune to pay when they're going in for cancer care. And they've been ignored, until, again, we come to election time and this manifesto, and it's fairly mealy-mouthed, isn't it, saying, well, you still have to pay a tenner if you're going in to have an awful treatment that's going to leave you feeling dreadful.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we're the first government, and Stephen Donnelly, the first Minister of Health, and I worked with him hard on this because we're the first really to provide substantial funding to patient organisations and to cancer support groups across the country. We provided 3 million last year, 5 million this year to the ARC houses and Purple House and so many different groups across the country who provide therapies and a valuable support to cancer patients. I mean, that's in first. And it's been very well received. Cancer Connects in West Cork got its first grant last year, 50,000. They transport people from West Cork to the CUH and other hospitals in respect of cancer treatments.
So people who want to drive in their own cars to the hospital, claim those costs back from those charities? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I know this is the first. These charities were on their own. This is the first time the state has become involved in supporting them. And again, I think if we can bring it down further, we will. Obviously will be some issue around management of car parks and hospitals as well, mm-hmm. which might necessitate a charge of some kind. But I think they were too excessive. And where there's a chronic patient, someone who has chronic illness, there should be particular facilitation of patients in that situation.
Okay, now you have the most women running in this general election in Fianna Fáil. Will you commit to a full 50-50 cabinet split if that's where you end up?
I won't. I'm not going to commit to that. I think that has to be based on who gets elected. And I'm not going to commit in advance of that. But I will do everything, obviously, that I can in terms of gender balance within the future cabinet. But I'm not going to get into commitments of that kind.
OK, well, you're back here in RTÉ tonight for the big debate on Katie Hannan's programme at 9.35, and there'll be 10 leaders involved. But for now, Micheál Martin, thank you for being with us this morning. We will take a break. Thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.